Last week we began to talk about this Tanai of Lekuchim and Ha'akum. In order to have a Chiyuv Tveis Kelim, it has to be that it formerly belonged to a Nachri and was purchased or otherwise transferred to the ownership of Yisrael. So let's just recap where we were last time and then move forward to the rest of that section in Hilchot Tveis Kelim. So number one, the Tanai of Lekuchim, the Gemara says, Kamaisa Shahaya, it's one of the three Tanaim that the Gemara derives from looking at the original story in Parshas Matos and trying to draw the key relevant characteristics. There has to be Lekuchim. So number one, most obviously, that's as opposed to a situation where it has belonged to Yisrael throughout. If a Kli was made in the ownership of a Jew and has been and the property of some Jew or another until it makes it to your hand. And it may have been sold by a Jewish silversmith to a wholesaler and then to a retailer and then to you, but all the steps throughout were Jews. If it was always the Balas Yisrael, there is no Chiyuv Tveis Kelim. That's number one. Tveis Kelim, the most basic. Tveis Kelim has to be that it formerly belonged to a Nachri. And then the Gemara goes on to say that Lakuach is also La Puki, a case where it did formerly belonging to a Nachri, and still does. If it's Sha'ol, so on the other extreme, you're also Pater. You're only Chayiv if there's present Jewish ownership. Tosos, on Ein Hamid Beis, had pointed out that in order to be Chayiv in Tveis Kelim, you have to have present Jewish ownership, but it doesn't have to be my Jewish ownership. This is not like Lulav and Esreg, or it has to be shalom of the lokeach in order to be kind of mitzvah. It has to belong to a Jew, and that's what Tosfos points out, that it could belong to some other Jew. It used to belong to Nachri, and now it was bought by Reuven. I'm not Reuven, I'm Shimon, and I'm using Reuven's kli. There is a chiyuv tefilas kelim there. And then we saw another step within that. Hagos Ashri quotes from the Or Zeruah, one of the early Chachmei Ashkenaz, a limitation on that point. Yes, it's true that if it belongs to Reuven, Reuven bought it from Christopher, I'm Shimon and I'm borrowing it from Reuven, it's Shaul B'Yadi, I'm a borrower, but it does belong to a Jew. Yes, I'm Chayiv, or Hagos Ashri quotes from Or Zeruah, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, Sivches, but it has to be, it doesn't have to belong to me, but it has to belong to a Jew, and it has to specifically belong to a Jew who wants it le'seuda. If Reuven bought it le'klofim, and then I'm borrowing, Reuven has a knife that he uses for his envelopes, and I borrowed for him because I want to use it for a hot dog, but the owner, the Jewish owner, does not have in mind le'seuda. The Or Zeruah is of the opinion, and that's what Shulchan Aruch quotes, that there is no Chiyuv Tefilas Kelim. As we explained last time, that means that there's an integration, or we've seen this phenomenon elsewhere, that these Tanaim for a Kli to be Chiyuv Tefilas Kelim aren't independent. They're integrated. It's not enough that you have Bialis Yisrael and it's being used for Lasuda. The Bialis Yisrael, which is Mechayiv, as the Gra pointed out, you read the language of Tosa slowly and carefully, it's the Bialis Yisrael, whether it's I'm the Yisrael or someone else is Yisrael, but the ownership of the present Jewish owner, which creates the Chiyuv, so that he has to have in mind Lasuda. The integration between the integration of the condition of ownership history and the condition of function Lasuda. The Rama went on to point that within this Or Zeruah a couple of important points. Or Zeruah told me, called by the Mechaber, that Reuven bought it. If Reuven only bought Leklafim, Shimon's using Lasuda, but it belongs to Reuven, so then it's Pater. So the Rama says, you should know that that's only true if Reuven still owns it. But if Shimon didn't borrow it, Shimon bought it from Reuven, then you're chayiv. So that, in other words, in Lumdus, what that tells me is another twist, that the mechayiv of Tfilas Kelim, this condition, it's not that there has to be a moment of transfer from the Bailus Nachri to the Bailus Yisrael, which is Mechayiv. It's not about the moment. It's not about the transfer. It's about two points in history. It's a composite Mechayiv. It has to be that some point in history it belonged to a Nachri, and presently it belongs to Yisrael in such a way that creates a Chid. And presently it belongs to Yisrael, who cares about Suda. But what there could be there was an in-between, which was neither here nor there. Could be there was an in-between. According to Arzurua, if a Jew owns it but doesn't own the Suda, that doesn't create Chiyuv. So the Ramah says it's fine. A year ago it belonged to Christopher, and now it belongs to Shimon, and Shimon wants it Lesuda. In between it belonged to Reuben, who didn't want Lesuda. Still Chayv. I don't care. There was no moment in time I can point to. There was that's not like Tassavlam and Asar. It's not like it has to go from the Bailus Yisrael, the Bailus Nachri straight to Yisrael and the Chayv. No. There was a time when Nachri owned it. Presently it belongs to Yisrael, who wants Lesuda. That is good enough. And this is incredibly important, as the Beis Yosef points out, not just this funny situation of Laklafim, says there was an in-between Reuven who wanted Laklafim, there was an in-between Reuven who wanted it Schora. The Beis Yosef stresses this. And that happens all the time. If I'm a Jew who's buying Kalim, if I go to a non-Jewish owned retail store and I buy from them, or I go to a non-Jewish blacksmith and I buy from a craftsman, okay, so that's mamish, direct. But let's say I went to a Jewish-owned store. They bought it from a non-Jewish wholesaler, or they bought it from a non-Jewish manufacturer. But Shimon bought it from Reuven, who is a chenveni. Reuven wants hazel l'sorah. Reuven isn't using it. So that's a great example of this. And that got us also into a discussion of the question of gifts. Once you see that the premature tefillah isn't going to work, then not only a case where Reuven is the first Jewish owner and he wants it l'shora, many posts also the opinion Reuven is the first Jewish owner or whatever, a preliminary Jewish owner, and he wants it l'matana. He's not selling it to Shimon, he's going to give it to Shimon as a gift. But he doesn't plan to use it, he plans to pass it on. So that may also, we discussed last time, how different solutions how you could potentially tovel without before gift giving, or don't, or include in the note that has not yet been undergone tevila. One last critical point I think we had left off with this before we move on to sefches. There are other details we discussed, but one last point that we had left hanging. This Or Zeruah, the third of the three elements of the Mechaber and Sifches. He started with Shaul's Pater, and then he spoke about a Jew who Reuven buys it from Christopher and lends it to Shimon Chayev. And the third piece of the Shulchan Aruch was this Yesh Misha Omer, but if Reuven owns it L'Schora, or Reuven owns it L'Klafim, and he's lending it to Shimon, so then a Pater, so it should be noted that the Shach seizes on the Yesh Misha Omer. The Shach says, are you so convinced that that's the case? He says, okay, Hagadah Rashi quotes Or Zeruah, that's pretty significant. That we have an integration of the din of Bailus and the din of Tashmir Suda. The Shach says, the Yisr V'Hetra disagrees. Shach and Sivkatan says, I'm. The Yisr V'Hetra, Ben Yon of the Ashkenazi, is a Tzarech Tevila. So just as we saw with the Tanan of metal and Suda, there was a discussion amongst Rishon whether they're integrated or not. So here too, Yisra Hetra says, what do I care? It belongs to a Jew, and you're using Lasuda. What do I care about the Kavana of the Jewish owner? So the Ozru is a big Kiddush. He's entitled to have that Kiddush. And the Yisra Hetra, or later Rishon, is entitled to disagree. So the Shach says, so what should we do? Yat bilo b'lo bracha. Saf mi safik, you should. Misafik, you should tovel. Misafik, you should tovel. So Pischei Tshuva points out, that's interesting. the suffix you should play them. So he gets involved, the Pesachei Tshuva in the beginning of Sivkat and Tas. He says, where does that leave me, Lamaisa? He talks about how this could come up. He quotes the Chayadim. And the Binas Adam is Chachmas Adam is the Chayadim Sefer in Yerideya, a non-Archaim, Yerideya in bits of Evan Ezra Chosha Mishpat. And he wrote his own footnotes on the bottom called Binas Adam, just like the Chafetz Chaim wrote his own footnotes, Charatian to and Deir Halacha to the Mishnah Berurah. Chayadim had already done that. And Binas Adam raises this issue that let's say you're making a simcha, so you're going to rent. I don't have 100 plates. I don't have 100 forks. I don't have 100 knives. When did I read that? Once in a couple of years, I make a simcha. I need a lot of kelim. So I'll borrow. So maybe you have a gemach, or maybe you have a rental place, or Binyan Sadim says, or you borrow from a chenveni. So this kind of this I go to a friend who sells silverware. He's willing to lend it to me. So the question is, so that's Mamish the Isavah had, that's Mamish Arzuru's case. He owns it L'Shora, Shimon is borrowing it L'Suda. So according to Mechaber, no need to Tovel. According to the Isavah had, there is. So where does that leave you? So he says, the Shach is concerned. But Mechaber did not quote it, and the Ramah did not quote it. And the Prichadish explicitly disagrees with the Svater. So it's true the Shach is concerned about the Svater, and many others are not. So he says, well, essentially he says, Tut Stadim Lachal. Sounds like the Chachazadim is the Shach. Shach was worried about it. We're not going to take that. We're not going to disregard that. Le'idach Yisa, the Ramah and the Pricharish do not seem to have been worried about it, as well as the Mechaber. So the Chachazadim's Shara is, and even the Shach only throws the suffix. Shach didn't say I'm convinced of the Yisra Heter Tovul the Bracha. He said Tovul the Bracha. The other Achronim, or whatever, Ramah Prichadash, they're not concerned at all. So the Shach thinks, number one, if it's a Shach Sadchak, you can be Mekel. The Shach Sadchak, you don't have time. You only gain access to these 300 forks and knives a half hour before we have to set the table. An hour before we have to set the table. I don't have time to get it to the mikveh and then get it to the hole. It's not going to work. The Shach Sadchak, Shabbos, whatever, Shach Sadchak is willing to make all against the Shach and the Isra Heter. And number two, he says, the Shach himself who said, you should machmer for the suffix, maybe it's only by metal, not by glass. Glass, according to most, is a chiv drapanon. That's the way most read that line in the Gemara. A glass is dummy to click matechet because it's also can be melted and fixed. So most understand that means a metal is deraisa, tefillin metal is deraisa, tefillin on glass is drabanim. They're parallel by tumah v'tahara. Clay zechuchas are makabel tumah midrabanim. So many read the Gemara here in the context of tefillin kelim that way as well. So this Pesachei Tshuva says, if it's glass, then he doesn't. If you're borrowing glasses from the store owner, he thinks even if it's not a Shach Sadchak, you can make. Well, he points out often it will be a Shach Sadchak because totaling large amounts of glass is likely going to lead to some breakage. But he says he thinks glass you can make a bachal. I think he says the Shach himself he thought maybe would have been makel. Yisr v'heter. Even Yisr v'heter only said that. Safik Rabbanim to begin with. And then if it's a Shach Sadchak, you can rely on the Haggadah Zashri, the Or Zarua, quoted by the Haggadah Zashri, the Mechaber, Pri Chadash, and implied by the Ramah, against the Isra Heter, quoted by the Shach. Okay, so that wraps up Sif Ches. Now let's turn our attention to the second piece of the Gemara. We have seen the Sif Ches really is focused on the first Shtikla Gemara on Ayin Heim Beis. It talks about Lekuchen versus Shulin. Now we turn our attention to that second piece of Gemara. The Gemara, the last narrow line, has an ibaya about mashkanta. I didn't buy it for the Nachri, nor did I borrow it for the Nachri. The Nachri gave it to me as collateral. He borrowed money from me, and I asked for a mashkan, so he gave me a set of silver as a mashkan. So if I'm not using the set of silver, obviously there's no tefilas kelim. The point is, I lent him money, and the deal is that I have the right to use the mashkan for as long as he has not yet paid the loan. So the question is, use the mashkan, is that mine now, and I have to, is that like a lakuach, or is that like shol? So the Gemara wanted to know what the din is. So Mar Bar Ashi said, well, I have a maisa with my father, Rav Ashi, that he had such a scenario where a Nachri had borrowed money from Rav Ashi and had handed Rav Ashi a silver becher, kasa de kaspa, as a mashkon. Rav Ashi, I remember my father tovled it before drinking from it. So the heart's open shot case. You see, mashkon is like lakuach. So he says, no, I'm not sure, Mar Bar Ashi says. I'm not sure, is it taka, he held the general mashkon as kizvini, or mashkon is not like zvini, but that was, maybe that was a unique case. Maybe that was a case where it wasn't a default case. Maybe my father could tell from the conversation with the Nachri that the Nachri didn't really plan to pay the money back. Yeah, he's borrowing, he helps to pay back, but you could tell Nachri was kissing his silver chalice goodbye. Like, he knew he's probably not getting this back. He knew the Nachri had the sense he was going to default on loan. His daitel shakue, he knew he was probably going to leave it with Rav Ashi and never get it back. So that's a Gemara Shaila. Do you only say that that's when it's daitel shakue, that's kizvini, or even a regular case of mashkan? So number one, the interesting Rashba, if you read the Rashba slowly and carefully, he points out, if it's only because of Daitel Shakui, what's the Chiddush? I mean, there's no Chiddush. Rav Ashi is remembering a story with his father. But the Rashba says, no, either way there was a Chiddush. What was the Chiddush? Even then it's a little bit of a Chiddush, because he says it's still not quite Kazvini. Daitel Shakui means the Nachri handed the Becher to Rav Ashi, and intended in his own head that he's not getting it back. But he didn't expressly. It wasn't a mechir mefureshes. So even that's a little bit of a chiddush. Even if it's just daitel shakue, even if it's only daitel shakue that's chayv, even that the Rashba says is already a little bit of an expansion of the category of lakuach. But obviously, if you say that particular case was not daitel shakue, any mashkon is chayv in tefillas kelim, obviously that's a more significant expansion. So what indeed is the din? What indeed is the din? The Gemara presents as a suffix. The Gemara is in Poshit. And the Rif says, it's a Ibaid Lev Shita. The Gemara in Shiloh, by regular Mashkon, it wasn't Poshit. The Rif doesn't tell you, and therefore what? It's Ibaid Lev Shita, and therefore the din is, from the blank. So what Tosa says, it's Ibaid Lev Shita. They don't quote the Rif Befeirsh. They probably were aware, though, that the Rif had said that. And they said, well, Lord came with Lev Shita. That definitely sounds like they might be referring to the Rif. So, you got to be on one hand and the other hand. You're tovel, misafik, b'yom make a bracha, and the Tosa says, ideally, we would rather avoid, at least the Midas Chasidus, would rather avoid doing the mitzvah without a bracha. Hare, there is a din d'rabbanan. Remember the Shmuel, the kol mitzvah kum v'arachal ever lasiyasan. So you don't have a choice. But really, it's better not to do a mitzvah without a bracha. So they say, if you have another kli, you're going to tovel anyways. We saw this type of logic by Mizuz also. I'm going to make one bracha on multiple kalim. So if you can pair the suffix with the vadai and tovel the vadai first and make a bracha on that. And in case the suffix is chayav and tefillah, it's covered by the bracha. And if not, there's no bracha vato. If you have that option, gevaldik. If not, so just be tovel without a bracha. Tosa says, that's what the Ravid says. The Ravid doesn't write this in the Hagos, in the Hasagas on the Rambam. But the Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ran and others quote that that was the position of the Ravid as well, against the Rambam. The Rashba and others quote this as a Machlokas Rambam Ravid. It's a little tricky because it is a Machlokas Rambam Ravid, but not a Ravid in the Hasagas. I think Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out that, what's his name? Rabbi Dr. Isidore Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes about this somewhat extensively. Father of our Rabbi Meir Twersky. who was a Jewish historian of great note, with a particular focus, scholarly focus, on the Rambam and also the Ravid. Perhaps the Ravid even more than the Rambam. So he points out that the Hasagas HaRavid was not the Ravid's major work. If all you learn is Rambam, it's the only time you see a Ravid is Hasagas HaRambam, you think that is the Ravid. Ravid wrote many Hasagas and many Sfarim. He wrote Hasagas on the Rif, and he wrote Hasagas on the Balamar. It's interesting, though, that the Meiri, who has nicknames for every Rishon, does not call him the Baal HaSagas. He doesn't call him the Masigim. Gedolei HaMasigim, that's what you'd expect. He refers to him as Gedolei HaMefarshim. Seems to indicate that at the time, the Ravid was known for his Perushim on Shas. We only have a little bit. We have Kiddushim, Bar Kama, bits and pieces. But it seems like there was a Perush HaRavid on much of Shas. And that's what he was more well known for. Some think that the Hasagas HaRavid, the Ravid was older than Rambam. It may have been in part, I think, if I remember correctly, Rabbi Dr. Twersky considers whether or not he accepts this idea, that Hasagas HaRavid was really meant in large part to demonstrate that Rambam is a big Talmud Chacham, but he's not the final word. There's room to disagree. He doesn't always disagree, as Dr. Twersky points out. Sometimes he disagrees vociferously, sometimes mildly, sometimes just ha'aris. But it wasn't comprehensive. It wasn't comprehensive. Here's an example. This is a clear sheet of the Ravid that many Rishonim are quoting, but it does not appear in the Hasagas. The Rambam does say clearly, Yud Zayin Vav in the Mechal Sasuris, that the Mashkon is Pater. He puts it alongside Shoel. Shoel or Mishkein. You don't have the Tovel. So that's interesting and it requires some explanation. The Rif said it's the Baidlo Shito. We don't know that the Rambam had a different girsa. Hilchasa, your Mishkin is Pater. It's Midei Safik Lo Yatsana. So there are probably four or five different explanations for why it is that the Rambam is Mekel. A number of the Chachmei Sfara, the Rashba, the Ran, say, the Machloik is Rambam Raiv, it is the Machloik, is what the Tefillos came with. Dorais is Rabbanan. It's classic, if I'd love sheets, what are you doing? You have a suffix. Suffix Dorais Lucharim, Suffix Rabbanan Makul. So the Raiv holds his Dorais, and the Rama holds Rabbanan. Rama holds Rabbanan, that's the question. I think we touched on it when we got started. Mi Piha Shmua Lamdu, Mi Divrei Sofrim. And halacha hey. That's the question. We discussed this thing in the first cover. Midivrei Sofrim means Rabbanan. Midivrei Sofrim means Tor Shel Peh. Especially Mipi Hashmua. Tor Shel Peh could be either Drash Rabbanan. Mipi Hashmua usually is assumed to mean it's an ancient drasha, an ancient tradition probably based on a drasha, or maybe a tradition whose source is not known. So it doesn't sound necessarily that the Rambam thinks that the drush is the Mira Asmachta. So a number of Rishonim read the Rambam that way, and the footnotes they point out that the Rashba perhaps says different things in different places. So that's one approach. The Rambam is Mekel because he thinks it's Rabban, Sav Rabban Lahakal. The difficult Lecha Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah says it's because it's a suffix of a Torah Shemal Peh. That's quite a startling statement. Anytime something is Torah Shel Peh, even if he thinks it's Halacha Moshe Sinai, it's far from clear that Safek Halacha Moshe Sinai is Lahako. Certainly say something that's learned from a drasha is Safek Lahako. That's a very, very surprising. It is what the Lechem Mishnah appears to say here. It is very, very surprising. A third approach, yeah, question?
Isn't the Rambam's general thing about the Safek or the B'chutzaretz thing, isn't he saying?
Yeah, so that's a big debate. The question is here, does the Rambam even think it's Halacha Moshe Sinai? Is that what Piyash Shmuel Lamdo means? Maybe. And maybe what Halacha Mishnah means? Maybe. A third approach, Hagos Maimini, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, I think we spoke about this before Yontif. Hagos Maimini here in Os. Ches quotes the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah says it's not. Hagas Maimon points out the Rambam is not the only one who said Safek is make on the Safek. There were Chachmei Ashkenaz who also were make on the Safek. It was a Machlokes among the Baal Yatos. Hagas Maimon records among them the Rav Yah was also make on. The Rav Yah said it's because of the nature of this din. is something that will come to Bli Neder more next week. It's not a Yisur against using the Kli per se. It's a mitzvah to Tovel. The Yisur flows from it. Even the mitzvah to Tovel is not absent. It sounds like it's a mitzvah to Roshos. You're not mechuyev to Tovel. It's not like I have a chiyev to pick up a lulav and esreg, a chiyev to one's villain. You already have forks and knives that are Tovel. You want to use this new fork and knife, you're going to have to Tovel it. You can also use the old fork and knife and skip the tefillah. So because of the nature of the chiyev, not an absolute chiyev, Rav Yehuda says that maybe that's why we'll make on suffix. Requires some Havana. There is a Chasam Sofer. He has a long pilpul. If you're interested, you can take a look. The beginning of Simon Kuf Yudal in the Chuvas on Chelag Yerade. It's actually intriguing. It's not a Chuva in the usual sense. No, there's no byline. It doesn't tell you to whom he's writing or when he's writing it. And he says, you sent me your Shtickel Torah, your pilpul, in the sugya of Tehillas Kelim, so I asked someone to copy for you my chidushim for my notebook. And you get a whole pages and pages and pages of some sefers, ha'aris and pilpulim on Avodah Zarah and Hayim Beis. One of the very first topics he discusses is this question of mashkanta and how we paskin, why the Ram is make. He has a whole pilpul to explain a lot of things in the sugi, a lot of problems. If you take a look if you're interested, the way he works out the pilpul, he lines up three or four different kashas. One of them is, why is the Ram being mako? And he thinks when all the dust settles, you can be mako without having to say that's a suffix to Rabbanon. One of the kashas that he deals with brings us to a fifth, and as far as now, final way of understanding the Rambam's kula. And that is a question the Kesef Mishnah raises. Kesef Mishnah points out that there's another problem in the Rambam. Not only were you surprised that he was so willing to be makel on regular mashkanta, the Gemara, as Rith pointed out, seems to be saying Bayid Lav Shita, so why is he being makel on the Suffolk? There's another problem. Even if you're makel on the Suffolk, but at least Daitel Shakui should be chayv. That was the holiday is chayv. What do you do with that? And the Gemara Shaila was Rav Ashi. Did Rav Ashi hold that all mashkanta is chayiv, or I know he told him, he held that something was chayiv. Did he told him because he thinks mashkanta in general is chayiv, or he thinks mashkanta in general is pater, but this case is chayiv because daikul shakui. Rav just says pater. Rav doesn't even say mishkan is pater unless it's daikul shakui. So Rav is super makel. Yeah.
Wouldn't it make more sense, maybe you saw this, that wouldn't it make more sense to say the Rambam is leaving it out because it's so connected to a sale?
Oh, good. So the Kesef Mishnah's second teretz is, that's Pashut. He didn't have to say it. That's Mamish. Again, bearing, despite the Rajman points out, Mamish like a sale, but it's basically a sale. So yeah, so the Kesef Mishnah's second answer is, he didn't have to say that. That's the Rambam Shut. I'm not sure what's necessary, the Rambam's style, to in the way he quotes Gemaras, okay? That is Kesef Mishnah's second solution. His first solution is in the other direction. Now, the second solution is assuming that the Rama would agree that Daitlo Shakue is high, which is what the Gemara seems to say. His first solution is Rav Ashi held the Daitlo Shakue is definitely chayiv. Because Mar Bar Rashi, I saw my father, Tovel the Mashko. So at the very least, Daitel Shakui is chayiv. But the Kesef Mishnah says, that's very nice. That's not the whole sugya. That is Rav Ashi. But there's what we had Rav Nachman before. Rav Nachman said, Lekuchen. So Rav Nachman says, the Kesef Mishnah says, maybe the Ram understood these two pieces of Gemara to correct. That Rav Nachman wouldn't agree. Rav Nachman said, Lekuchen. If he meant to include Mashkon, he should have said so. At least Mashkon v'daikul shakui. So sort of the opposite of the second answer. He says it's obviously the same thing. The first answer, because the Mishnah is fascinating, he says it's obviously not the same thing. And the fact that Rav Nachman didn't, and this is a chiddush, the fact that Rav Nachman didn't specify it means that he didn't hold of it. Okay, I mean, Rav Nachman gave two extremes. He gave Lekuchen and Shulin. Where does Mashkon fall? It's because now. You could stop right here. The Kesef Mishnah goes on then to say, So Harei, even that the Shakui is a Safek, because it's a Machlokas, Rav Nachman and Rav Ashi. So since the Rambam holds that this is Drabanan, see, he was Mekel, Safek Lekula, like Rav Nachman. And that Kasha, by the way, of why didn't the Rambam mention Taitla Shakui? So I mentioned that. That's another one of the Kashas that Rav Chasam Sofer's Pilpul addresses. But I would say, I wonder whether you could take the Kesef Mishnah a step further and say, who needs to even say that it's Suffolk? Maybe instead of going back to Mahalach number one, like the Rashba, the Ran, the Rambam is all built on Sagra Bar Lahakko. Once you believe that Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Ashi, so maybe the Rambam was convinced we pass on like Rav Nachman, not because of Suffolk. His reading of the Sugya, he had to pick a side, and he was Machriel like Rav Nachman. Why? I don't know, you got to figure that out. But he was Machriel like Rav Nachman. Maybe because he's married to Shmaita, the whole Sugya is following Rav Nachman. I don't know. So maybe the Rambam was married. Once you say the Rambam read the Gemara that way, you accept the Kesemishas Pirish, so that opens up. So that's why he wasn't Mekel because of the Suffolk. He didn't think it's a Suffolk. The Riff felt it was a Suffolk, because the Riff felt the whole Gemara works together. But the Rambam reads the Machlokes HaSugyas, or not Machlokes HaSugyas, Machlokes Nachman Rashi, he passed like Rav Nachman. That's the answer. There was no Suffolk. He passed like Rav Nachman. Maybe. That's what I would say there, at least, and there may be more, but at least five ways of understanding why the Rambam was Mekel. Whether like the Rashba, the Ram, and the Ritva, so because he's Mekel and a Suffolk Rabbanon, or like the Lechem Mishnah, he's Mekel on a Suffolk Halacha Moshe Mishinai, Tarshvapeh, the Rav Yah, that this type of daraisa, because it's not really a straightforward chiyuv, you can make on the suffix. It's also a chiddush. Chasam Sofer's whole pilpul number four or number five. You know, taking the pirish hagemara that the Kesef Mishnah suggested, and maybe the Rambam held that it's not a suffix. It's a machlokas of Nachman Rav Ashi, and he passed in like Rav Nachman. Okay, whatever it is, however you understand any of these five explanations for why the Rambam was Mekel on Mashkon, maybe there are other explanations. Lemaisa, there is a machlokas. The Gemara has a shaila, and there is a machlokas to show them how to paskin. Tosas, Riven, and others versus the Rambam and the Rav Yah. Halacha lemaisa. So lemaisa, how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch says in Siftes. That if it's Taitul Shakue, so then Tov and Tzvila for sure. If not, then it's a Safik. Taisus Raivit. Mechaber follows Taisus and the Raivit. Now, you're Tovaling me Safik. You are Tovaling me Safik. We're following the right Taisus and the Raivit that we're being Machmi here, but Lemaisa, if it's not Taitul Shakue, it's only Tzvila me Safik. The Gemara had any by it. So there are a few nafkaminas in that. Well, the obvious nafkaminas is that you don't make a bracha. Okay. That's the Machaber quotes from Tosis. There are two more nafkaminas. Number one is what the Rama says, in Levasof Nishtaka Biyado Yachzid Belenu Belo Bracha. You have to re-tovel. If it wasn't originally Daitul Shakui, Nachir, it seems like originally he was fairly confident that he's going to pay back, but he's a business is business. You ask me for a mashka, I'm glad to give you a mashka. But he had confidence he was going to pay back. And then, Nebuch, he had a downturn, financial downturn, and in the end, he was not able to pay back. So, you already told me Safik, Rama says, you have to tell me Safik again. Tell me Safik again, because it cuts both ways. Maybe you were chayiv before, or maybe you were not chayiv before. So, as we mentioned last time, the hanacha of this Rama is that premature tefillas kelim is ineffective. In other words, al-hatzad, that regular mashkanta is not kizvini, it was considered at that point silti biyad hanachri, I tovled it then, but that didn't help. Why not say, well, manashach, you tovled it? No, you see, the al-hatzad, that it wasn't kizvini, the fact that you tovled it earlier is irrelevant. So you have to tovled it earlier because maybe you're ready chayiv, but you have to tovled it again, maybe the you weren't chayiv earlier and the previous tefillah was unhelpful. That again feeds back into the question of a nosein matana, can he tovel it when he gives it? If it's not yet chayiv, so then perhaps a tevila would be ineffective. The another nafkamina, the fact that it's only misafik pischei tshuva, goes and talks again about zechuches. This is cutting it out. If you get raised, zechuches is called to pricharash. He says, pricharash says, if he gave you the gemara talks akas zekaspa, a silver chalice. But let's say he gave you a fancy crystal bowl. So pricharash says, if it's daitzol shakuei, so far dechay, nothing to talk about. But if it wasn't daitzol shakuei, it must stam ashkanta. So then it's a suffix, and then zechuches is rabbanon. So suffix rabbanon is lahakum. Now there should have been yet another nafkamina. How many nafkaminas do we have in the fact that again we paskin after all the papum, all the chidushim, perushim of the kesef mishnah and so forth, lamaisa halacha lamaisa, we follow Tosfos and the Ravid that the Rav Ashi is not disagreeing with the Rav Nachman. And we're bought into Rav Ashi Tovel, we were Tovel too. We're just not sure. The Rav Ashi only told by Dental Shakuya generally. So we, by general Mashkanta, it's a Safek. And therefore, we Tovel A, believe Racha. B, if it's Chazer v'Nishtaka, we Tovel again, we Safek. C, if it's Zechuchis and Mashkanta Stam, we would be Meikul. There should have been a fourth Nafkamina. But there isn't. The fourth Nafkamina should have been is the reverse. Is let's say the Jew is a borrower and the Nachri is a lender. The Jew borrows from the Nachri. The Nachri says, I need security. The Jew says, fine, here's my silver becher. Here's my silver becher. Here's my silver challah knife. Here's my silver challah bowl. Whatever. And he gives him a menorah, so no tefillah scale. No, the Jew gave the Nachri. The Jew gave the Nachri Malve Mashkan, and then the Jew ultimately pays back the loan and receives the pawns back the Becher. So what's the story over there? The Nachri had it for a while. It was Mashkanta Kizvini. You say, well, it's a Safek. Right? That's what we're saying. Stam Mashkanta. The Yisrael says it wasn't Daiti L'Shakuei. I know it was not Daiti L'Shakuei. I intended to get it back, and that was my plan. And Baruch Hashem, I was successful. So there's Stam Mashkanta is a suffix. So we should have said it's a suffix when I sold it to the Nachri. When I get it back, so it'll be suffix I should tovel again. But the Mechaber doesn't say that in Sif Yehov. The Mechaber says Yisrael Shemachar Kli La'akam V'Chazar Lachamenu Tzarech Tfila. Even though the Jew might have originally tovled it, if I sold it to Nachri, I buy it back after tovel again. But the Mishkan Obiyada Chazor B'Dovenu Ein Tzarech Tvila Vaday. Why Ein Tzarech Tvila? It's the same suffix the other way around. We're Mesupik with Mashkantik is Vini or not. So if now the shoe's on the other foot, if the Jew is the Malve who's holding on to the security, so then Mashkantik is Vini is the argument to make it chayev, right? Because I bought it, it's not that I borrowed it. So now the other way around also, if Mashkantik is Vini, that means I sold it to the Nachri, and then when I pawned it back, when I paid my debt, so I was buying it back. So by the same logic, I should say that Misafik Yishef to Tovel. But this Mechaber says, no, why is Mechaber not say no in Sifid Alf? It's not Mechaber's fault. Taisus said no. That's later in the Taisus. And Tosfos raised the problem. But here it's obviously not Kizvini. What does that mean? Why? Well, because it's only Kizvini if it depends on the direction. Mashkanta Kizvini if a Jew is holding on to it, but not if a Nachri is holding on to it. Why? Why? It's mysterious. So the Bir Advarim L'Chora lies in Sif Yud, which is the case also rooted in Tosfos, the case of Uman. Yet another business relationship that's possible between a Jew and a Nachri. We spoke about a Jew buying it from a Nachri, a Jew borrowing it from a Nachri. Also, last time spoke about a Jew renting from a Nachri. And that was Machlokas Rajba and Radvaz. We pass on like the Rajba that it is. It's the same as Sha'ul. And we spoke about the Jew getting it as a security. How about if the, or giving it security, how about if the Jew owns the raw silver and goes to a non-Jew or silversmith and says, would you please make the silver into a becher? Please make the silver into a spoon. I'll pay whatever your fee is. I'm giving the raw material. And you'll give me back, here's $100 worth of silver, you'll give me back a $200 silver becher, and I'll pay you. So what's the din? So it became a kli b'yad nachri. So maybe I pick it up from the silversmith, the non-Jewish silversmith, I have to tovel it, or maybe not. So the mechaber says, eino tzarech tvila. Eino tzarech tvila. The Chabra says, I don't have to tovel it. Is that, where does that come from? So the Gemara in Bava Kamma elsewhere has a machlokas, a nizik, dinamamnes machlokas. How do you understand that relationship? I gave the Nachri $100 of raw silver. He gives me back $200 silver spoon, $200 silver knife. And then I pay him, and I pick up the item that he made. So the Gemara has a question, what just happened? The Nachri created value through his craftsmanship. Oh, forget Nachri, the Uman created value, whether Jew or non-Jew, the Uman created value through his craftsmanship. He gave him raw materials, and he invested work, and he created a finished product, which is worth much more than the raw materials. You pick it up, and you pay him. So what's happening? When he created that added value, did he become a shutuf? You gave him $100 of silver, and you put in capital, he put in work, and together now you have something of greater value, so he's a shutuf, and you're buying him out when you pick it up. You say, Uman kone b'shvach kli, that the Uman is becoming a partial partner in the silver spoon by virtue of the fact that he appreciated the silver when he made it into a spoon. I say, no, it's not that you're buying out the woman's chalik. Nah, if it was your raw material, then it's your finished product. You owe him. He's a poel or a kaplan. He did a job. You owe him money. You owe him his fee. You're not buying it from him. The logic of that second approach, the uman eino kono, the eino mukom b'shvachli, probably based, simply understood, on that concept of aroi ashbach. A part of what it means to be an owner of an item is that if my property appreciates, I automatically become the bialim of the appreciation. If I own a tree and it grows fruit, so I own the fruit. Why? Not because of kin chatzer, even without kin chatzer. If I own a tree, the tree is now more valuable. One of the zechuyos of a bialim is aroi ashbach. If my property becomes more valuable, as the owner, I am automatically the owner of the appreciation. So if it happens on its own, clearly I own the appreciation. But if it didn't happen on its own, if the uman did it, that's the question. Do you still say aroi ashbach? It was my silver, now it's worth more. Automatically, it's all that added value is mine, but I owe him money for the work that he did? Or no? If the uman did the work that created the appreciation, so maybe I should say that makes him he actually has equity in the new and improved item, and I'm buying him out. I'm buying out his stake. I'm buying out a shutzus when I pay him. So that's Shailah, owns him, and so on and so forth. Main nafkamin is in who? Is he a shomer and a poel, or is he a shutuf? And many nafkaminas in Dini Mamanis. Tosfos here said, but it's irrelevant for Tfilas Kehillah. Even if you hold the Uman Kohen B'Shvach Kli, but if I gave it to the raw silver to the non-Jewish silversmith, and he gives, Christopher Schmidt gives me back a finished spoon, even if you hold Uman Kohen B'Shvach Kli, which itself is Machok Zagonim, Gemara's discussion, Machok Zagonim HaPaskin, Tosfos says, but it's irrelevant to Tfilas Kehillah. Even if he was Conan, from a Dine Mominus perspective, but it doesn't mean that when I pick it up, I have to tovel. Not everyone agrees with Tosfos. The Agos Maimini quotes that they're Matsasi. he found there are those who say, no, it's Tali no Munkar Mishvachli. You saw the Ritva. The Ritva quotes Tosfos. The Ritva himself holds like our Tosfos, but he says, but Tosfos holds that it is Tali no Munkar Mishvachli. Who's the Tosfos? In the footnotes, they tell you, well, it's not our Tosfos, it's not other sets of Tosfos. But it's some Bala Tosfos, probably the same Bala Tosfos being quoted by Gosmani. So it was a Machokas Bala Tosfos, whether Umen Kone B'Shvachli is relevant to Tfilas Kalim or not. Pashtus would be, on Muskel Rishon, be yes. Whoever owns it, owns it. If you hold Umen Kone B'Shvachli, so that means if you gave raw silver to the silversmith, it's now, and now he made it into a spoon or a fork or a bowl or what have you, he is a shutav. He is a shutas. When you buy him out, you should be chayiv in tefillas kelim. So why not? We understand the Hagos Maimoni very well. Why do Tosfos and most Rishonim disagree? Tosfos and the Ritva and others. It's not Tali. So Tosfos explained, the Ritva explains a drop more. Tosfos said, well, still ain't tzarech tefillah. Even though if you hold umekon b'shvach kli, the Nachri silversmith is a partial owner in my becher, but ain shemo alav. And he says, and the Ritva says also, delohavi kemaisa shahaya. Ain shemo alav. The name of the Nachri wasn't on it. Masha Enike Tosfos says, if you actually sold it to Nachri, you bought it back, then it's nikra shem ha Nachri alav. So that's like a new condition that Tosfos is raising. It's not kemaiser shahaya, a little bit like what the Rashbat said. I would have thought that Taitzul Shakue is not chayiv because it's not exactly kemaiser shahaya. Kamashma said, no, you don't have to have mamish express explicit mechira, especially since it's not really about the transfer at all. But it does have to have been shal nachri. It has to have been shal nachri, not just that it was technically shal nachri. But that it was evidently shel nachri. If technically, if you're alarmed and you realize that he only had a shutfus in it, but it wasn't obvious, that's not good enough. It has to be kemaiser shehoya. And by side, that's only a condition. Tosfos is only raising a condition as a condition of the first step. And here's where we come to a critical point that we ended with last time. When you think about all these questions of ownership history. So as we said at the beginning, so ownership history is a combination, it's a composite tanai. It has to have at some point in the past belonged to Nachri, and number two, it has to presently belong to Yisrael. So those are two separate stages. As I said, you don't have to have a direct shift from one to the other. It could be there was in between time and in between you're still chayiv, and they might not have the exact same rules. Sitosa says, but the bylaws of the Nachri, it's not enough that the Nachri technically owns it. It has to be Shmo'alav. That's apparent to everyone. If he bought it from you, you buy it back. So that was Shmo'alav. But if technically he owns it because he's a Uman, and he thereby, got a stake in the equity, but in obvious way, people don't think about it that way. Technically it's ownership, but people don't think about it that way. That's not enough to mechayev. What's another example of ain shmo alav? The ownership that, or the stake, the relationship that a malva has to the mashkan. Yeah. So maybe if you say mashkante kizvini, not that lo shakui, say mashkante kizvini. So what does that mean? It's functioning like a mechira, but as the Rashba says, it's not a mechira mefereshes. It wasn't an express sale. People wouldn't say even think about it as a sale. So there's a rule when you think about the first component of this tanai. There's the idea of you have to have shema. It's not enough that it technically belonged to Nachri. It has to be shmo alav. So that's why if the Nachri only owned it. B'toras u'b'nekon b'shvach kli, he technically owns the dinim amnes, but not enough for the Easter of a Heter of Tfilas Kalim. Hua Dinami Tosid probably means to say also that if the Nachri owns it because of Mashkanta Kizvini, that's not Shmuel of either. Yeah, practically speaking, you can use it like an owner. But it's not straightforward ownership like when you actually buy it. So that's not Shmuel of. So that's Vadai, Tosid thinks, not Chayav. The Gemara Shaila was, but how about the Yisrael's ownership? The Yisrael's ownership, stage two of the Mechayev, so that's already a Shaila. Do you also need? Mamash has to be fully, expressly, very self-evidently Shalha Yisrael, not just Mashkanta Kizvini, but no, Mashkanta Kizvini is good enough. Daitul Shakui, they're ready, we're willing to say that it wasn't Mamish and Mechir Mifurashas. Okay. But that's already willing to say that's Vadai, Vadai Chai. But if it's just Tam Mashkanta, that's like Ein Shmolav. Even if you say Mashkanta Kizvini, so that's why you don't say Mimonav Shach. You don't say Mimonav Shach because, you don't say Mimanav Shach because we don't, it's not exactly the same thing. If is the case in the Gemara is where the Mashkanta Kizvini would, it has to do with the second component, the ownership of the Yisrael. So there it's an open suffix. But when Mashkanta Kizvini is relevant for the first component, meaning the only way that the Nachri has any ownership is at one point he was a lender who had rights to use it. That's for sure not enough for the ownership of the Nachri. So two final points. I want to be sensitive to time. Two final points. Lahalacha. One is Tfilas Kalim and one is not. The Tfilas Kalim point is Ramah makes a point here that when a Yisrael and a Nachri are shutfim in a kli, it's not chayiv in Tfilas Kalim. If the Yisrael buys the Nachri out, then it is. Chayiv in Tfilas Kalim. That's the underlying assumption of the whole Umrakom B'Shvach Kli conversation. That's going to be relevant. Let's say you have a Jew and a non-Jew or Shutfim in a restaurant. And we spoke about that. Last week, one Nafkimin of Shol is to give a Hashkacha on a non-Jewish owned restaurant. There's no need to Tovel the Kalim. Because you have to make sure the Kalim are kosher. You don't have to Tovel them because any patron, anyone who walks into the restaurants are just borrowing. You might be buying the food from the restaurateur, but you're only borrowing the kalim, renting, borrowing the kalim. So you're pater. How about if it belongs to Nachri and Yisrael together? So also, ain tzar at that point, calls man that there's still a Nachri stake, ain tzar echfil. That accords well with the lumdus, or the time of the Kara, really, of the Yerushalmi that we had seen quoted earlier. That the idea of Tfilas Kalim we spoke at the very beginning, the Rishon quote here. The idea of Tfilas Kalim is like a gerus, the kli of becoming Jewish, nichnas k'dushas shel Yisrael. That's only once it's entirely owned by a Jew. Kolzman it's owned by a Jew and non-Jew, b'shutfus. There is no chi of Tfilas. That works well. We mentioned that you see from here also that it's possible to have to tovel twice. I toveled it and I sold it to Nachri and get it back. I have to tovel again. The one added Nukuda Lahalach, which is not Tfilas Kalim, but on the topic of Mashkanta, it's important to point out that we spoke about two scenarios of Mashkanta. One was where the Yisrael lent money to the Nachri, and the Nachri gave him a Mashkan, and Yisrael was using it, or the Nachri lent the money to the Yisrael, the Nachri is using the Yisrael's Mashkan. Those are both legitimate from a Choshen Mishpat standpoint. The question, what's the story Yerideya, from Tfilas Kalim? It's important to note a different part of Yaradeya. If a Yisrael lends money to another Yisrael, Reuben lends money to Shimon, and Shimon gives Reuben a mashkon, so obviously there's no issue with Tfilas Kalim, they're all Jews. There is a different issue later in Yaradeya, that is Rivets. Here, there's no issue with using the mashkon because there's no issue of Rivets between a Jew and an Achri, it's a Pasuk in the Chumash. But if Reuben lends money to Shimon, if Reuben lends $10,000 to Shimon, if the deal is Shimon's going to pay the $10,000 back in 3 years from now, And meanwhile, Shimon hands Reuven a set of silverware to hold on to. That's totally fine to give a mashkon. But Reuven cannot use the mashkon. Because if Reuven uses the mashkon of the course of the loan and then gets full repayment of the loan at the end, that's probably Reuven's ketzutza. I lent you $10,000. You gave me back $10,000 plus use of your property for 3 years. Why get use of your property? Because I lent you money. That's real ribbis. That's a real problem. There are ways of solving it. For instance, if the agreement is that I'm going to deduct my use from the amount that you have to pay me. I'm going to get $1,000 of use out of your silverware, and when the due date comes, you only have to pay me $9,000 instead of $10,000. That's totally fine. I lent you $10,000. You paid me back $9,000 cash and $1,000 in use of my asset. That's fine. But if you're paying back in full plus the malva has use of the mashkon, that gets you into very, very, very serious danger of ribbis. But again, our Gemara wasn't worried about it because Rav Ashi had borrowed the money from an achri. So there is no iser ribbis between a Jew and achri. Leaving out the Gezel issue. In other words, assuming that that was part of the conversation. The Rashi said to the Nachri, I'm glad to lend you X amount of money, but I want a mashkon and I want to use the mashkon. And the Nachri said, fine. So being that there's no, that's ribbis, and ribbis is mutter between Yisrael and a Nachri. Mitzvah, next time, we'll go on to wrap up the discussion of which kelim are chayavim. I want to come back to two open threads. Number one, we want to talk some more about, we spoke quite extensively about Suda, and about Tashmish Suda, the question of function, and about the ownership history, Lekuchim. We touched on the question of material, the third condition the Gemara mentions. There's more to say about that, particularly to talk about what exactly is called metal, which is a very, very relevant question. We also, I mentioned when we got started, there's a phantom fourth condition. The Gemara never actually specifies, but might be assumed. Some contemporary posts can talk about, which may be relevant to figuring out what you do with electronic kalim, what you do with disposable kalim. And then beyond that, Mitzvah, we'll shift from which kalim are chayiv to the question of if you're chayiv, how do you go about doing fila, which is sifim beis and gimel at the beginning, as well as sifim yud beis to the end of the siman. Shkoyach everyone.